Six Till I Die. We have one more storyteller in this half. So starting last month, the move to the Beat Kitchen, Your Stories has become a more philanthropic show. Every month we're donating proceeds from the door to an organization that our featured guests and the nerds like a lot. This month that is Chicago Loot Drop, and you're going to hear a little bit about what they do, but basically they use their funds to provide good experiences and toys and stuff for kids in Comer Children's Hospital, which is great, and they have a nerdy bent to their fundraising. We love them. This is their founder, chief guy, great dude, Mike Chuff. Brett, cannot talk tonight. Hold on. We'll pretend I didn't butcher your name. What's your name again? No, I'm just kidding. It's Mike Chuck Bretzliff.
It's actually kind of a startling number, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this up because I don't like to sit, and I can't sit still anyway. So, hi, yeah, I am Mike Chuck. I am the chairman of Chicago Loot Drop, and we strive to bring and unite all of the geeks and the gamers and the nerds of Chicago together to do good. And the bulk of our mission is supporting University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital. And so we do that through a number of different things, fundraisers and service projects. And rather than necessarily tell you about that, I'm actually going to read. This is perfect timing. On Friday, I got an email from Comer thanking Chicago Loot Drop for our efforts. And since many of you have supported Chicago Loot Drop, you've attended our fundraisers, you've come to our service projects, this thank you goes out to all of you as well. Dear Chicago Loot Drop, the Child Life Program at Comer Children's Hospital would like to thank you for your continued support through both the Drawing Dreams event as well as the donation of comfort kits and celebration. Our success is dependent upon the donations from organizations like you. We are truly grateful for our collaboration. The Drawing Dreams event continues to be a wonderful partnership. The patients and families are amazed when they see their superhero come to life with the art piece. Those who are able to attend the C2E2 convention this year were so pleased to connect to the experience on another level. Additionally, the comfort kits continue to improve the support for adolescent patients. Thank you for helping meet this important need. The celebration kits are a wonderful way to help families celebrate important moments. One patient recently used a kit for a last chemo celebration. With your help, Child Life Specialists are able to promote healthy development and positive coping. We thank you for your contribution and look forward to continuing our partnership with you in the future. So to anybody that's helped out, that's on you, and thank you very much. So you, if you are interested in helping out and coming to any of our events, we actually have anything planned. Presently, everything's kind of on the books for happening in fall. We don't do a lot in the summer because we're small and there's a lot of other large things going on that we cannot compete with for your attention. So we'll have stuff coming around this fall. So we want to know about that. Follow us at on Facebook or Twitter at /ChicagoLoot Drop for both of those. You can also sign up for an email newsletter on our website, chicagolootdrop.org. We've got some hopefully really cool stuff coming up this fall, so stay tuned for that. Nothing else to talk about yet because nothing's officially on the books yet. Okay, so I got a story. So I've been playing video games all my life, and they taught me some things about myself along the way, one of which is I don't like being bad at things. especially when one or more people are around. This is hardly a mind-blowing epiphany. I would assume that applies to most people. But this two-sided coin of a fragile ego and being super critical of myself has led to some performance anxiety issues. I'm not saying I need to be great. My goal is simply to be highly mediocre, with occasional and accidental moments of brilliance. If I were a brand, that would be my slogan. I am, however, not a brand, but I do think I have an idea for my next tattoo. And actually, I just kind of realized where it should go. Gonna need a smaller font. Okay. The game that helped me figure this out about myself was Shadowrun on the Sega Genesis. Possibly tied with beating Eternal Darkness 5 times. There's no other game that I've played start to finish as much. Along with Mutant League Football, I would regularly pedal my sweet black Schwinn BMX bike to the local distributor of VHS movies and rent Shadowrun again and again. Eventually, I bought it from a used game store, beat it, sold it back, bought it and beat it again, and then sold it back, and then I may have done it a couple more times, actually, when I discovered emulators. I had access to every video game ever made. So naturally, I played Shadowrun. And not really having time as an adult to replay a game I've beaten so many times, I most recently watched a Let's Play on a side monitor while working. And on every playthrough, I always play the exact same way. One, as a Decker, which is like a computer hacker guy. And two, I spend 2/3 of my playtime in the starting zone. I would just grind away ad nauseum, receiving ever diminishing returns on money and XP as mobs and quests that were originally so troublesome slowly became easy, which is great because I'm lazy and I don't like rising to a challenge but have a high tolerance for monotony. And then, so once I reached that point where everything's easy, I would still stay until I was practically a demigod of this starting zone. And then, and only then, would I leave for the next zones, having already gone above and beyond their XP curves, removing most of the difficulty. The way this plays out in real life is that practicing in private is like endlessly grinding away at XP in the starting zone. And then doing something public is like moving on to the rest of the game. One example would be playing bass. I had a different story in here, but I swapped in something else because just yesterday, my instructor showed me something and then wanted me to do what he just showed me, which I did, but what I really wanted to do was go home, write it down, analyze it, practice it slowly, and then come back in like 4 years for another lesson. Once I eventually got it. And that duration is not a joke. I did that. I just started back again this like July. Anyway, and so this is just me, and this is me and one other person. One other person who I'm paying to teach me and make me better at something. But this is Bit Bashes tonight, so we can go back to video games. My senior year of college, I played a lot of Halo. Every night in my apartment building, we played 16-player Capture the Flag in Blood Gulch till the wee hours in the morning, and it had a decidedly negative effect on my GPA. You can chart it very easily. Okay, I joined these games a semester after they were even going on, and was getting my ass kicked. So to get better, I really needed to practice playing a shooter with a controller since I was used to mouse and keyboard on PC. And not having an Xbox, I would sit in my apartment by myself and play Time Splitters 2 multiplayer on the GameCube with all of the other players set as bots. Slowly increasing the AI difficulty, like Vegeta doing push-ups in 20 times gravity and then 30 times gravity and on. It was a different console and a different game, but you want to know what? It fucking worked! I still wasn't the best because some people are just crazy aimbot wizards, but I could at least be counted on to more likely kill an enemy with a rocket launcher than myself. But what if you can't practice something privately? There are just some activities where solo practice doesn't really translate, and that can only be done and improved at with a partner. Then what? Well, I avoid it as much as I can. I am, of course, referring to boxing. Talking about boxing, which I do actually at a park literally like on the other side of that building, behind us, for the people listening. Good job. Okay. So there's lots of ways you can do prep for sparring, but the only way you can actually get good at it is just to do it. Because the bag is mostly stationary and it doesn't hit back, usually. I spar more regularly now, but for like a long time, for a couple years, I would go and just be relieved when no one in my weight class was there. Or if somebody showed up later, I'd be like, oh, sorry, I can't stay, gotta go, and then just, and then leave. Which is one major reason why when I played World of Warcraft, I played this massive multiplayer game. It's the first time pointing to the ceiling, despite all these years. Okay. I played a massive multiplayer game as a single player game, because back in the early aughts, a lot of Warcraft content required you to group up with small or large groups of internet strangers. And internet strangers, especially gamers, are assholes. So I pretty much just never did it, despite playing for years. However, WoW did teach me one other thing about myself. It's kind of a weird thing, but I told me that I like public transit. And actually enjoyed waiting around for the Zeppelins or the boats to show up and take you to your destination. And not only that, trying to catch one as it was about to leave is thrilling, and it prepped me for jumping down 10 stairs at a time trying to catch the blue line. And when you catch that train or you catch that Zeppelin, you don't feel highly mediocre. You feel brilliant and great. Thank you. Yeah.